The thing is, Johnny May, I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't mean to upset you. I wasn't having a go at you or your wife or your daughter in what I wrote in this peer-reviewed article. I was just reporting the academic, just re reporting the data. I was just reporting the truth and interpreting it in the most parsimonious way. I understand that it may have it may have hurt your feelings, but I mean, you're an academic as well, right? You're feeling, you know that feelings are the enemy of scholarship, and that surely we're here to get to the truth, and that data is telling you that is the most likely explanation for what's going on. So if it hurts your feelings, I'm sorry about that, but. Right, you. I understand that you. I can see why perhaps you might have found it difficult. Why it might have upset you. And but it's not. I'm just trying to explain to you. Right. Okay. And now you've unfriended me on Facebook. And right. Okay. And now. And I've written to you and said I'm sorry if I've offended you, but you don't respond. Right. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk once more about about the evidence that the West is extraordinarily polarized, and there are some people that have interpreted this have interpreted what's going on at the moment as meaning that particularly an article by Ed West called "The West's Cultural Revolution is Over," that somehow the West's culture, you know, that we have reached the end of our cultural revolution, and this is the new normal. We have returned to the days of 1966, when there were extreme taboos, when there were things you just couldn't say, when there were blasphemy laws, and so on, and that this is the normal element of history, and that the period between the 60s and 2020 has been the abnormal period in history. And I want to argue against that. I want to argue that no, we are if anything going through the collapse of a previous cultural revolution, rather than the cementing of a cultural revolution. Now, I was inspired to do this by a very interesting article that was in the Sun, actually, on the and this it really looks at the it it it, it alludes to some research. The most woke generation, young adults, are the most intolerant generation yet, with half of them having ended a friendship in the woke wars. And this related to some research recently published by the Center for Policy Studies, where it looks at just how divided the West is. Now, normally, when the Cultural Revolution is over, when it's finally over, you are not divided. You are united. Everybody agrees on certain things, or vast majority of people accept certain things, accept certain ideas, accept certain taboos, and so therefore the Cultural Revolution in that sense is over. And this is not consistent, the evidence, with this at all. What we have is extreme polarization, and that is consistent with potentially going through some kind of cultural revolution, with potentially the breakdown of an earlier society. That's what it's consistent with. Now, what he notes is that we're not as divided as America, but nevertheless, only 20% feel that the country is invested in them. So there's great demoralization with those that are in positions of power. That's generally a sign that you're going through a cultural revolution rather than the end of it, that people are fed up. 70% believe that all politicians are in it for themselves, according to this according to this, it was that they interviewed 3,000 people in June as part of a project called Britain Speaks on British politics. The key word that they felt when they heard the word politician was disappointment. That was 40%, so just under half. 51% of people that vote Labour feel that the entire economic system is stacked against them. So there's a strong sense that people that vote Labour are sort of angry, unhappy people, compared to only 25% of people that vote Conservative. That feel that the economic system is stacked against them. Another interesting divide, it's approximately the same number. 37% feel that the most salient, problematic issue of our times is racism, while 25%, so only 10% less really, feel that it is wokeism. So you have a clear divide there of approximately similar numbers saying that the racism is the key problem in society, and the other 25% really saying that kind of anti-racism in its politicized, over the top form is the key problem in our society. Similarly, you have a divide with regard to cancel culture that's similarly stark. 29% say that cancel culture is a bad thing, 26% say that it's basically a good thing. So again, a similar divide, a quarter saying it's good, a quarter saying it's bad. 29% say they have stopped being friends with somebody, and 22% say they have, well, they haven't stopped being friends with them, but they've stopped talking to them. So kind of effectively, they've stopped being good friends with them based on something political that that person has said. And 45% believe that white privilege exists as against the rest of the society that don't believe it exists. Now, what this betokens is a very, very extreme form of polarisation that society has come up, has completely come apart. Now, that is not something that you get in a period where everything is accepted and where there is a clear culture, like perhaps there was in the early 60s, where there are clear cultural taboos and everybody knows the rules and everybody just agrees on things and everyone's united around a clear culture, as you might have got under certain periods of Soviet communism or as you got with the sort of conservative religious culture up into the 60s. I don't see how that betokens that at all. Interestingly, a book by Ezra Klein called Why We Are Polarized, this looks at the growth in polarization in America. And what it shows is that you have basically a period in the 50s where society is united, where there are very few differences between the Democrats and the Republicans, where the Democrats in Congress and whatever happily work with the Republicans. There's no problem working together, where the Democrats, who are the Northern Democrats, who are of course, left-wing, are reliant on the Southern Democrats to get through their socialist policies, and so they tolerate the Jim Crow laws and whatever in the Southern states, and where basically they're all cozying up and they're all friends, and where in parts of the South, 95% of elected offices were held by the Democrats. That's how unpolarized things were. Now, you get a period of polarization, of course, as this breaks down in the 60s, and by the 1990s, there seems to be a new system, a new way of doing things, a new establishment, a new system of taboos, if you like, really, where racism is bad. I mean, that was the particular thing, and a number of other sort of taboos. And then once again, there isn't clear blue water between the Democrats and the Republicans. They cozy up, they cooperate together. There isn't a big divide between them anymore. And it seems to me that you had something quite similar in Britain. There was a period in the 1970s when the Labour Party were socialist, where the Conservative Party were, capitalist essentially, and there was a divide between them. They were very, very different. As you move forward in time to the 1980s, gradually the Labour Party reforms, gradually the Conservative Party takes on more of the kind of social, anti-racism, anti-sexism, anti-homophobia policies that Labour have sort of pushed for, and you get a period in the 1990s and the 2000s where there really isn't much difference at all between the Labour Party and the Conservative Party. And this difference has developed more recently, in particular since 2010 or whatever, where there are very substantial differences between them, and where the Labour Party has become an extremely left-wing, extremely pro-woke, and even to some extent anti-capitalist, once again, political party, particularly under the leadership of Jeremy Corbyn. And the Conservative Party, although it has ceded ground, as Conservatives generally do, because as we've discussed before, Conservatives sympathise with left-wing people in terms of harm avoidance and in terms of a desire for equality, whereas the left do not sympathise with the conservative values of sanctity, of obedience to authority and of obedience to tradition and so on. So therefore, they will always cede ground to them. But and it was the Conservatives that brought in gay marriage and whatever in the UK. But even so, there is now a clear difference opening up. And you can see this in the different profile of those that vote Labour versus those that vote Conservative. Those that vote Conservative are broadly satisfied with society and see it as fair, with only 25% essentially seeing it as unfair and something stacked against them, whereas over half of Labour voters see society as a thoroughly unfair place where everything is stacked against them and their interests. So I would see that period prior to that is a period in which there was a clear society. Okay, it wasn't as strict as the 60s or whatever, but in which there were certain taboos, and everyone just knew what they were, and certain issues such as immigration. Nobody questioned this. In the 1990s, people you didn't talk about immigration, you didn't discuss it, you didn't criticise it. It was a taboo issue. Now, that taboo has been broken. Now, what Ed West argues in his very interesting article in Unheard, The West Cultural Revolution is Over, is that in the 60s, in 1966, last time England got close to winning any kind of silverware, you had a society with clear taboos, there were blasphemy laws, everybody knew what was going on, you didn't question certain things, there wasn't really much sort of in the way of political satire or, you know, questioning the establishment or whatever, and that was that. He argues there's a period between 66 and 2020 where this is there is the Cultural Revolution, and then, of course, the Cultural Revolution comes in, so it's a bit like the Soviet Union or whatever, or the French Revolution, and it creates a new system of thinking. It basically becomes a mirror image or a fairground mirror image of that which replaced it, of that which it has replaced, I'm sorry. As with the French Revolution or as with communism, it sets up its own religion, its own religious rituals, take the knee, whatever, George Floyd, its own system of thinking, its own taboos, and indeed, these things become so ingrained, you get Pravda-like newspaper coverage, you know, mainly peaceful protests, and you get this idea that something that's obviously political, like taking the knee, it's so obvious you should do it that you don't even see it as political anymore. It's just the way things work. It's like in a religious society, what I'm doing is not religious crossing myself. It's just what you do. It's not religious at all. It's just the truth. It's just the thing that you do. And that's what he argues. Now, I think, and so therefore he argues, you know, this is the new normal. There was this period of Cultural Revolution where you question things, where you satirised the establishment, Monty Python, that sort of thing. And that is now over as a new left-wing establishment has taken power and everyone accepts that this is the new system. Now, I don't agree with that because I think that if I think it's a very interesting article, but I think that if that was what was going on, there wouldn't be polarisation. You don't get polarisation when the Cultural Revolution is truly over. When the Cultural Revolution is truly over, the society is united as one, as it was in the 1990s, relative to now, perhaps, and everyone accepts the ritual, and everyone accepts the taboos and everyone engages in the rituals and whatever. There is no Cultural Revolution because everyone basically broadly, apart from a few dissidents, agrees with the same thing. What we have here is something very different. We have evidence of extreme polarization. Now, that's what you get during a Cultural Revolution, not after it, once it's over and a new religion has been established to control people and there's a new set of taboos. It's what you get during a Cultural Revolution. And one of the things that you would expect as well is that when that revolution is happening, then when the traditional system, the system that's in charge, the system of power, feels under threat and realises that it is losing power, that's when it will start to double down. That's when it will start to become more extreme. That's when it will start to, you know, to really, really ramp up the taboos and clamp down in order to stop what it perceives as the breakaway or the breakdown of its own system of power. And so if you can think about in the 1930s, 1940s, when things were pretty settled, culturally, homosexuality was tolerated. It was tolerated. Homosexuality was illegal, but it was quite rare for people to be prosecuted for it. It was tolerated. By the 1950s, when the traditional society was basically on the verge of breaking down, and on some level, people that were invested in that society would have perceived that it was on the verge of breaking down, that's when you get, in both Britain and America, the extreme clampdown on homosexuality, the ramping up of prosecutions for homosexuality, articles in newspapers in Britain calling them evil men, saying they shouldn't be involved in government jobs because they could be blackmailed. The Lord Montague of Bewley being prosecuted for it, and John Gielgud being prosecuted for it, and all of this kind of stuff, and Alan Turing and whatever. That's when you get the really clamping down in a way that they hadn't earlier, because there was this conservative sort of backlash, because there was concern that the order was breaking down. You've got it in America as well with McCarthyism, with the clampdown on communism, the fear that the left were taking over, resulting in people that have been tolerated prior to that being severely clamped down on. People like James Flynn, the Flynn Effect originator, having to flee the country because he couldn't get a job in America because he was considered a socialist sympathiser. Now, somebody, I think who it was, referred to what's happening now as McCarthyism in reverse. And so I think that would be consistent with this is the period of cultural revolution, and this is the period in which the taboos about immigration or whatever, that there is enough people that don't agree with wokeism, that don't agree with cancel culture, that these things are being, cancel culture is a reaction to a perception that their power is falling away. And therefore you have actually a cultural revolution happening now, which would potentially betoken interesting things for the future. So I'm not sure that... I think that there was a period of unity where the Cultural Revolution was over in the 90s and the noughties and whatever. And it is this period that is a new Cultural Revolution, as the left that has been dominant for so long fears losing its influence and thus sends out the stormtroopers of the left and becomes more and more extreme in order to hold on to it, just as the right was doing in the 1950s. So... there you go. That's my take on that. So I hope this is a bit of interest. If it has, then please do subscribe. It helps most violently if you do that. I of course live stream Mondays and Thursdays at 7 PM UK time, 2 PM New York. If you want to help the channel, you can see ways of doing so in the box below. And I will see you soon. And goodbye.